6. We're going to continue here in our study of the book of Romans, and in particular, chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to erase this up here. Oh, you know, the other thing I was going to mention, Ted mentioned the zone. Dan had put together that spreadsheet for if you read through your Bible in 1 year, you need to read about 4 or 5 chapters per day and so forth. So that's why you're going to be somewhere in the Genesis chapter 8 through 10, somewhere along in there as well. But if you want to read through Paul's epistles, Romans to Philemon, he's got a plan to read through them 16 times in this year. That's why you saw you should be around Romans 8 right now. The reason I bring it up is that Dan sent the email to that list as an email to some different folks and everything, Charlotte in Chicago. She got that same list, and then she sent it to everybody on her email list. And so this thing is starting to spread throughout the Grace Message. So we would absolutely encourage you to get on a plan to either read through your Bible in the whole year or to read through Paul's epistles 16 times in a year, or both. That'd be pretty impressive, right? And yeah, imagine that. Christians actually reading their Bible, you know. Ken said, I remember you said you read an article one time that said that what was the percentage of professing Christians? It was 8%. 8% of professing Christians said they've actually read through the Bible. It needs to be way higher than that, right? And we want to make sure that we're a part of those that actually read through the whole Bible. We heard recently that someone said about this ministry here, there's all kinds of things said about this ministry, but we heard recently that someone said that we never teach anything except Paul's epistles, and basically we don't believe anything but Paul's epistles. You know, that's crazy. You know, through Sunday school class, we've been teaching through the Old Testament for how many, at least a couple of years now, and that type of thing. But we get into the whole Bible. All the Word of God is for you, Genesis through Revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But you do have to rightly divide the word of truth if you're going to understand the Bible. You have to understand what part of the Bible is directly to you and directly about you as compared to simply for you. You're not Israel. You're not Israel wandering through the wilderness. You're not going through the tribulation period. By the way, are you glad for that part? You bet. The church of this dispensation will be taken off of planet Earth and out of here prior to the start of the tribulation period. We call that the rapture. Paul's term is to be caught up together. And you just have to understand where in the Bible God is speaking directly to you in this dispensation. And that's critical. So all the Bible's for you. You want to be able to read the whole Bible, but you want to understand all the Bible in the light of the word, in the light of where you are in the Bible. It makes a big difference, okay? Now, you are in Romans 6, not only because that's where we're studying now, but that's where you are. This is the information that God has for us today in the dispensation of grace. Romans chapter number 6, start with me again at verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 14. He says, what shall we say then? By the way, as we read this, what I want to point out, I want you to just kind of make a mental note, or if you want to mark it in your Bible, make a note of how often the word or words related to death appear. And then also make a note of how often the word or words related to life appear in this section. Okay? Dead, death, crucified, life, resurrection, live, those kind of things. See what I mean? So just kind of make a mental note of that as you read through this section here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. By the way, that's the topic of the message this morning, newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, by the way, are we? Okay, so if that's true, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin. What's the next word there? Once. But in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. How come? Let's all read it together. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time that we can gather together as a local family of believers to look into Your Word. And once again, we are utterly dependent upon Your Word to teach us, to instruct us about this great marvelous change that has happened the moment, the split second that we trusted the blood of Christ for salvation. You, by Your Holy Spirit, baptized us into the very death of Christ, His burial, and now You see us alive in Christ. God, help us to see and understand that and believe it, to rest in it, and to go forward in the light of it. And we'll thank You for that in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Did you take note, as I asked you to do, or get like an idea of how often the word death or dead or words related to that appeared in this section? And then how often the word life, live, resurrection appeared? Watch this. I want you to mark this if you would. Notice the great contrast here. Look with me down at verse 2. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin. Look at verse 3, the last part. Baptized into His death. Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Look at verse 5. Planted together in the likeness of His death. Verse 6. Knowing this, that an old man is crucified with Him, that the body sin might be destroyed. Verse 7. For he that is dead. Verse 8. Now if we be dead... What's the picture you're getting here? A lot of death occurred, okay? Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Three times in that verse, death has no... Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead. And then down to verse 13. Alive from the dead. See, they're repeated again and again and again and again. Dead, 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 you're dead, death, you died in Christ. If you don't get anything else so far in this message, and we're not done yet, but hold on, okay? If you don't get anything else so far in this message, by the time you read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 down through 14, what do you know, what should you know, what can you know for sure about your new identity and relationship to sin? What are you? Listen, you're dead to sin. Okay, let's go like this. I'm going to run out of room here. Let's do it like this. We're dead to sin. Okay, that's what it says. You may not feel like it. How many of you feel like you're dead to sin all the time? You don't. This passage has nothing to do with feelings. It has to do with God says something. Now, we've already studied these first couple of verses in the past. There was an event that happened that was so spectacular, so important, it was essential. It was so powerful that it resulted in you and me, the split second we trusted Christ for our salvation, it resulted in you and me being made dead to sin. What event was that? Baptism. Baptism. It said so right there. We were baptized into Christ. But which baptism was it? It wasn't a wet baptism. You didn't get wet at this one. It was a dry baptism. It was the one baptism of Ephesians 4. It was the baptism by which God the Holy Spirit placed us into the very death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the baptism that matters. We studied that 2 weeks in a row. We looked at detail last week, so we're going to move on from there. But remember, you cannot be saved. You do not have salvation apart from baptism. But which one? This one. This is a death baptism. And the death that matters, you as a believer, the death that matters, you have already experienced. You didn't feel it. You didn't even know it happened unless somebody at the time you trusted Christ, somebody told you, or unless you happened to read that verse right there, right after you got saved. The only way you know this happened is the Word of God says so. It took revelation. It took God communicating information to us through the pen of the Apostle Paul to tell us about this. Now, let's move on then. This is a wonderful truth, to be dead to sin. And by the way, when he says dead to sin, look at verse 6. You'll get some more information about that. Look at verse 6, Romans 6, 6. He says, knowing this, that our what? What's it say there? Old man. Now, wife, that's not your husband. Right? You got that? Kids, that's not your dad. You know, kind of the old man this and that. No, no. In the phrase, in the passage there, when Paul talks about you're dead to sin, it is the old man. That is that old sin nature. That old sin nature. You and I have, by being baptized into the death of Christ, God says that we are dead to that old sin nature. Colossians says it this way. Turn with me to Colossians 2. I think we almost certainly read these the last 2 weeks, but let's just review this again quickly. Look over to Colossians chapter number 2. Look at Colossians 2. Look at Colossians 2 at verse 11. Colossians 2:11. It says in Colossians 2:11, in whom, so in Christ, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. There was a circumcision that occurred the split second you trusted Christ. It was a circumcision made without hands. The result of that circumcision is that your soul, that part of you that's eternal, the inner man of you, was spiritually cut away from the enslavement to that old sin nature. You were made dead to sin. Pardon me if I be too graphic here. But if you understand the idea of what physical circumcision is, the cutting away of the foreskin of the flesh, they took that foreskin, they cut it away, and they separated it. They threw it away. It was dead. And they were dead to that. You understand that? Again, pardon me if I'm too graphic, but that's the Bible illustration there. Understand that? You and I, we were circumcised from our enslavement, our bondage to that old sin nature. You are dead to sin. Question, do you believe it? You should. How come we should believe such a thing? Because it says so. Not an issue of do we feel like it. Not an issue of whether or not we experience victory every day of our life. But the way that you do experience victory is by faith, by believing these verses. Okay? Now, let's move on. So we're dead to sin. Okay? Death, as they say, death is a life-changing experience. Think about that. It changes the life of people that are behind, right? As well as the person that left. By the way, I meant to make an announcement during the announcement time. Several of you here know Carol and Jim LaBarge. Jim LaBarge went home to be with the Lord about a week and a half ago. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yes, sure, we met. Did she really? Wow, how long ago was it?
The 22nd.
Okay. Yes, she'd been here before. Yes, yeah, I remember she had hearts. I think some heart issues, right? Some heart trouble and so forth. Wow. Well, she knew the Lord, though, right? So, yeah, that's wonderful. Wow, yeah. Well, I went down to see Carol. When did I go to see Carol? Friday, I think. And she sends her love. And again, several of you know, you knew them and everything. And we met them about the same time we met Joe and Sue when Brother Keith led the ministry in San Diego there. So it goes back a few years and everything. So, but Carol's rejoicing, as I'm sure you are. You miss her very much. She misses him very much. But you know where she is. To depart and to be with Christ is far better. And you have something to look forward to when you get there. Besides seeing the Lord, you've seen somebody else. So that's a wonderful thing. Oh, that's amazing. That's tremendous, isn't it? What a hope that we have as Christians. We don't have to look at death as the end of everything. You know, Paul says, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Resurrection. Isn't that wonderful truth? So, anyway, death, as they say, is a life-changing experience. What's the wages of sin? And you died. But to be dead isn't the complete picture. Something's missing. What's missing? Life. Life. Now let's go back through the section here. Look at what he says. Go back to the verses. Look at verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, next word, live? Look down at verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was what? Raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His what? Resurrection. Jump down to verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also what? Live with Him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the death dieth no more, death has no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He, what? Liveth. He liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but what? Alive unto God. Jump down to verse 13, middle of the verse, as those that are alive. See, the only answer for sin is death. It's the only answer for sin. Understand that? The wages of sin is death. But what's the only answer for death? Life. You and I, we are alive unto God. That's your identity now. Put a barrier. Put a middle wall of partition. Put a line between those two. This was our old history in Adam. You are forever done with your history in Adam. Your history in Adam ceased at the cross. You're done with the old sin nature. You're done with that guy. You don't have to serve Him anymore. You're dead to Him. He's not your master. You're dead to Him. That nature's done. And you're over here alive unto God. Your history in Christ started. How long does that one last? It lasts as long as Christ is going to live. Is death ever going to get Christ again? Never going to get Him again. See, your life, you're over here alive unto God. Let me use a simple illustration. What is your relationship now to 2009? Can you go back and relive 2009? Yes or no? Yeah, just don't want to. Thank you, sir. And even if we did, we couldn't. Now, can 2009 influence how you live in 2010? See, you're dead to 2009. It's done. You've got no choice about it. You're dead to it. That history is gone. It's done. It's over. It's past. But you are alive until what? 2010. That's where you live now. Now, when Paul says, listen, I'm dead to sin, I'm alive unto God, you see the illustration there? He's saying, how shall we that are dead to 2009 go back and live in 2009? It's impossible. You can't go back and live back there. Now you can, in 2010, allow what you did in 2009 and before to influence how you live in 2010. But you cannot go back and live in it. You're dead to it. We are dead to that old sin nature. But we can and do allow that old sin nature to manifest itself over here. See the difference there? But we're listen, you're dead to that, period. It's not a matter of feeling. It's not a matter of whether you like it. You're dead to 2009. But you are alive to a new year. You're alive unto God, and it's through Jesus Christ. See how simple that is? We want to make it so hard and so difficult. And what makes it hard and difficult is the struggle, the conflict in the inner man. The inner man wants to do that which is right. Sin is resident in the flesh, so you have that struggle, right and wrong. It's been said before that one of the greatest experiential evidences of whether or not you're a true believer is the struggle. Think about that. If someone doesn't struggle with the issue of right and wrong and doing that which is right before God, but also making choices that are not right before God, if someone doesn't struggle with that, it's very likely they don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit, they're not justified and so forth. But one of the greatest evidences that you have the Spirit of God, that you are saved, is the existence of the very struggle that Paul writes about here in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. Isn't that amazing? So when you have that struggle, don't be discouraged. And don't think, oh, God's mad at me. He's not. God always is happy to see you. He always has a smile on his face when you come to Him. And come to Him often, by the way. He doesn't look at us and say, well, you blew it again. He said, He doesn't say, you know, you're not going to go do the same things you did back there in 09, back in 010. You say, yeah, God, I probably am. And He says, well, I knew that. We don't take God by surprise at all. God says, whatever you do in 2010, the same thing that covered what you did in 29, it's the same thing in 2010. What was it? It's the blood of Christ, the crosswork of Christ. It's sufficient. But Romans chapter 6, the first part, is telling us that God has done something to completely and forever sever us, separate us from allegiance, loyalty, servitude to that old sin nature, and He's given us new life in Christ. Christ now is our life. Now go back with me to Romans chapter 6, and let's work some details now out of this passage here. We already looked down through verse 3. I'm going to pick up at verse 3 again. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Just real quick side note, but important. Why tell us that we're buried? Why is that important piece of the puzzle? We say Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. Why the buried part? What's that? Okay, you can't rise if you weren't buried. That's excellent. Why else? You can't rise from the dead if you actually weren't buried, dead and buried, right? Why else? It's been done. What else? Absolutely identification in Christ, but why buried? Why tell us that? It's proof of death. What is the burial? When you have a memorial service and a graveside service, what is it? It's done. It's done. The way that they say it, they say it's closure. Time to move on. See that there? Listen, when that passage says we were buried with Him, it's time to move on from allegiance to that old sin nature. We don't have to serve that guy anymore. He's been buried. Time to move on. Close that door. You got to get on with your life. Life in Christ. See that there? He goes on. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Now, see the word that. Paul is going to use that word several times through this whole section, the word T-H-A-T. By the way, he uses it a lot throughout his epistles here. That tells you the intent, the purpose, the reason, right? So, it says at verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead, was He. How do you know? You've never seen Christ. How do you know He's raised from the dead? You know, not only have you not seen Christ, you don't know anybody alive today that's seen Christ. And they don't know anybody alive who's seen Christ. And they don't know anybody alive. Nobody has seen Jesus Christ personally, physically, for almost 2,000 years. So, why do you believe He's alive? Because the Word of God says so. I mean, there's lots of other evidence, the whole empty tomb story and everything. But God says He's raised Him from the dead. But it's interesting how He says it. Look at what He says here. He says at verse 4, it says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, look at the next statement there. You ever read that verse before, that phrase? That verse says, He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. There's a connection with the resurrection of Christ and the glory of the Father. Now, when you're in the book of Romans up to this point, you've already seen phrases about the glory of God a couple of times. My throat's just, for whatever reason, it's scratchy up here this morning. Watch this. Go back to chapter 3. I might need to get some water. You turn to chapter 3, I'm going to face over here and get some water. Okay? Watch this here. Look over to Romans chapter number 3. Look at what it says here. Verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God." Look over to chapter number 5, verse 1 and 2. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of" what? "The glory of God." Chapter number 6, verse 4. "He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father." There's a connection with the glory of God and the resurrection of Christ. We fell short of that glory. Now we're guaranteed to be in that glory. There's a connection between the resurrection of Christ and the glory of the Father. Hold that verse there in Romans 6 and go to Ephesians chapter 1. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead by His glory. But what does that mean? Look over at Ephesians chapter number 1. Notice the phrase is so very similar, Ephesians 1, 17. Ephesians 1, 17 says this. Start at verse 15 so you can see the context. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now watch this. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, comma..." How does He identify the God of the Lord Jesus Christ in that verse? He's the Father of glory. You see that in the verse? He's the Father of glory. Now, to be the Father of something is to do what? Is to be what? What do you do? You're the one that brought it forward. You're the one that... God has an eternal plan that He created, He invented, He designed, He thought through. And the name of that plan is called glory. He's the Father of that plan. He's the Father of this plan to glorify His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven and on earth. And you as a member of the body of Christ have that position and privilege to be part of His plan to glorify Jesus Christ throughout the regions of the heavenly places. It's no wonder that Paul says, in fact, are you still there in Ephesians? It's no wonder that Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." But where are they? In heavenly places in Christ. You see, you and I as members of the body of Christ, the eternal destiny of the body of Christ is the heavenly places. Hence, God blesses you with all spiritual blessings that are appropriate out there. God has a plan called glory. He, the Godhead, designed that plan. His intention is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the heavens and on the earth. And He raised Jesus Christ from the dead according to His intentions to fulfill that plan. He raised Him from the dead by the glory of the Father. See that there? He raised Christ from the dead, not accidentally. Not, well, I think I'll raise Him from the dead just because I feel like it. He had a plan called glory. And that plan required Him to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul is going to tell us in Romans chapter number 6 why, by the way. But you see a little phrase there? Go back with me, if you would, over to Romans chapter number 6 there. He says, He raised Him from the dead. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4 now. Back on track. He says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that... like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also." You got to get that part of the verse. "Even so we also." Also what? See that there? Look at that. In the verse, what happened to Christ? Raised from the dead. "Even so we also should walk in newness of life." Question. In the verse, what happened to Christ? Do you see anywhere in the verse where it says, "You were raised from the dead"?
We should.
Think about this, friends. Wait a minute. Go back to verse 3. "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" Okay, does that verse say you were baptized into the death of Christ? Verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with Him." Okay, does that verse say you were buried with Christ? Verse 4, does the verse say you were raised with Christ? You got it right here. The verse does not say you were raised. It doesn't say that. The passage does not say that. It says you were baptized into His death. You were baptized into His resurrection. Oh, so you were baptized into His burial, and Christ was raised from the dead. That's it! Amen. Somebody else say amen? Come on. I think I woke some of you up, including me, right? When you read Romans chapter 6 here, there's this amazing disappearing act that happens. You disappear, and Christ comes up out of the grave. And you keep reading, and all of a sudden, He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. You disappeared. You're done. It's over with. And this life, alive unto God, the only reason you're alive unto God is because you are in Christ resurrected. See that there? You are in Christ resurrected. That's when He says that verse again. I'm back at verse 5. For if we have been planted, I'm sorry, verse 4, back to verse 4. When it says He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, what? Christ was raised from the dead to walk in newness of life, right? He was raised from the dead and is in resurrection ground right now and forever. Jesus Christ is alive unto God. Even so, we also. Who's the we? Those that have been baptized into His death and burial. He came up out of that grave in resurrection life. Our old man, we're still in that grave. But there's new life that came up. We came up with Him. Christ is our life. Look how Paul says it in the book of Colossians. Hold your verse there. Hold your verse there. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Look over to Colossians chapter number 3. Look at Colossians chapter number 3, verse 3. For ye are what? Dead, and you're what? Wait a minute now. Am I dead or am I alive? But the answer is yes. I'm dead to that old sin nature, but I'm alive unto God. But notice whose life it is. Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, there's the next phrase there, get that. Christ, who is our life. Christ resurrected is your life. Let me ask it this way. Apart from Christ and before we were in Christ, how were we doing with living unto God? It wasn't working so well, was it? By the way, even after we're in Christ, how's the living unto God part working? You still struggle with it. That's Romans 6, 7, and 8. The battle's there. The struggle's there. That's exactly right, by the way, because Christ has already been judged for this. A very good point, John, okay? But what He wants us to see is, you know what, you're dead to this. That history's over. You are alive unto God because Christ is alive unto God. Christ is your life. If Jesus Christ was to die today, what would happen to you? You would die. Some of you don't get that. I didn't get it for a long time. That's revolutionary. That'll change your thinking. If Jesus Christ was to die today, you would die. Listen, you already died in Adam. That old man, you're done. It's over. It's done. The only life you have now is life in Christ. Sure, there is physical energy and stuff manifesting going through this physical body. Understand that? But you're alive in Christ. If Jesus Christ was to die today, you would die as well. Christ is your life. That's amazing to think about that. Go back with me, if you would, to chapter 6 of Romans. Let's move on here. Chapter number 6. This issue of newness of life, when He says at verse 4, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What does that make you think of? What comes to your mind when you think about that phrase? Newness of life. What's it think of? What's that? Say it loud, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, little lambs, little puppies jumping around, bouncing around. Think about the joy, the excitement, newness, fresh, something brand new. How many of you would like to be baptized in the death of Christ and raised to go right back and live in that realm? That one didn't work. The whole idea of newness of life, there's something new going on. A new relationship, a new identity. You are alive unto God because you're in Christ. Jesus Christ lives on resurrection ground forever. And that's your life. The reason that we can say no to the old sin nature is because we're dead to the old sin nature. The reason we can say yes unto God is because we are alive unto God. Now, we don't always do that. We don't always make that choice. But we don't have to serve that guy anymore. We can serve God now. We can do something we never could do before. Look at what he goes on to say here. He says at verse 5, "For if we have been planted together." The word together there is key. Planted together. Planted together. Identified with Him. If we've been planted together in the likeness of His death. Next three words. But say it this way, can you? Don't say, "Yeah, we shall be." Don't say it that way. We shall be. See the "shall" there? That's a guarantee type thing. Go back with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter number 3 there. Go to back, and on your way, get 1 Corinthians 15. Go to Colossians 3, and on your way, get 1 Corinthians 15. Look at this. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, and then we'll get Colossians 3. 1 Corinthians 15 and Colossians 3. Watch this. That issue of "we shall be." When you see that word "shall," I mean, it's you want to say it with some conviction that you believe it, because it's so. And it is so. By the way, if you're a believer, it's so even if you don't believe it, all right? Anyway, watch this. Watch what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:49. "And as we have borne the image of the earthy..." Now, who's the earthy? That's Adam. Do you still physically bear Adam's image? Absolutely so. And that verse says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we" what? "We shall." There's the guarantee. "We shall also bear the image of the..." See that? See the "shall" there? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, again, verse 3. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Watch this. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear..." Will He appear? That's what it says. He's going to appear. "Then," what's the next word here? "Then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." See the sense of the word "shall"? It's an absolute guaranteed promise. It's something that you and I by faith can trust because God says it that way. We shall be. Hence, you go back to Romans chapter number 6. Notice what it says at Romans chapter number 6. At verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Him." Why? "That the body of sin might be destroyed." Well, why do you want to do that? "That henceforth we should not serve..." Listen, God crucified that old man so that old man could be destroyed so we wouldn't have to serve Him anymore. The only answer for sin is death. It's the only way you're going to conquer sin. You got to die. It's the only way to conquer it. Isn't that amazing? And we died in Christ. Look at what the next verse says. Verse 7, "For he that is dead is" what? "Freed from sin." Go to verse 18. Verse 18, chapter 6. "Being then made" what? "Freed from sin." Verse 22, "But now being made" what? "Free from sin." Now, we're not only dead to that guy, but because we're dead to him, we're free from sin. Let me use an illustration. And I know we're running out of time here pretty quickly. And I got to verse so far, to verse 7, but that's all right. Let's say you turn on your computer in the morning and you read the Yahoo front page news and everything. And let's say that there was a story about a bank robber. And then the guy, he robs the bank, has all the money, and he uses weapons and guns and everything. And so there's a high-speed chase afterwards. you know, and the cops would run, chase them all the way through L.A. and San Diego, all the way down to Ramona, and they find them in the guy's backyard. How's that? You know, so it's interesting. No, brother, you got a confession you want to make? Or so, but they chase them all the way down. And then finally they have a shootout with the guy. You know, the guy broke all kinds of laws. He robbed the bank. He threatened people with a firearm. He broke all kinds of speed laws and everything like that. They have a shootout with the guy, and they kill the guy on the spot. And so the prosecuting attorney comes along and says, okay, we got to bring this guy to law now. He broke this law. He broke that law. He broke. I got 50 laws he broke. Get that guy up. Prop him up. Put him over in the corner here. We're going to try this guy for all these crimes. First of all, you'd fire the prosecuting attorney, right? But the judge would say, what are you talking about? The guy's dead. The law has no more dominion over him. The guy's dead. He's gone. He that is dead is freed from sin. That's your identity in Christ. He goes on to say this. Let's wrap this up here. He says, now, if we be dead with Christ, well, are we? That's what it says. If we are, then we believe that we shall also live with Him. You have got future resurrection absolutely guaranteed, but you have life now in Christ. Look at what He says. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. How come death can never get Jesus Christ again? He already paid it. He already experienced it. He already experienced the wages of sin. It's death. It was settled. It was done. And God raised Him from the dead as the evidence that the price was paid in full. You know, people have those bumper stickers on the cars, or they have little crosses on the back of their cars that somebody bowed down. You know what they need to do? They need to have a picture I saw years ago, like at the foot of the cross. And at the foot of the cross, and of course it's all blood and everything all over the place, but at the foot of the cross, there's a document written. There was a document at the top of the cross as well, but the document at the bottom of the cross. And you know what it said? It said paid in full. That's what to put on your window. That's what to put in your heart. It's thinking. Paid in full. He died unto sin. And only took one time. And God raised Him from the dead. But that's not the end of the story. It says here at verse 10, for in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. That's your identity as well. Likewise, next word there, reckon. That's an accounting term. How many of you got to the end of the year and you check in your books? And you remember back about 12 months ago, you had plans, financial plans for the year. Hey, you know, we're gonna pay off half the credit card debt. Can't pay it all off because we've just got mountains and mountains of it, but we'll pay half of it off. And we're gonna fix this. And we're going to pay the car off, and we're going to have a little bit of savings and so forth. So you're at the end of the year, and you look back and you say, well, we didn't do so good on all this, you know, and so forth. Instead of paying off half the debt, we kind of doubled our debt. The car broke down, this and that, so we had to keep paying. You make a financial reckoning. You go add it up. And they say the numbers don't lie. God says, add this message up. Take a look at what I said. God says, take a look at my accounting here. And there's only two conclusions you can come to. Number one, you're dead unto sin. And number two, you're alive unto God. God believes that about us. God believes that about the believer. That's why we should believe it. See how He says it in that verse? He says, likewise reckon ye also. The likewise and the also. Somebody else is reckoning it so. What's that, Joe? God does. God says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, God says it is so. Again, if we didn't have this revelation, that is, if we didn't have that documented, written down right there in the Bible, you would have no way of knowing that this is true. You might could guess, and you'd be a lucky guess. But God took the time through the pen of the Apostle Paul, your apostle for this dispensation, and he says, Paul, teach him about this new position and identity in Christ. They're dead to sin, but they're alive unto me now. That's the start of understanding how the Christian life actually functions, how it can actually work. And all gets back to us resting in, believing, trusting in what God says about this new identity. We are indeed dead. It says indeed right there. Indeed, dead to sin and alive unto God. Lord, help us to grasp this and appreciate it and rest in it. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we can spend a few minutes this morning looking into this marvelous, wonderful passage of Scripture that all of us here as believers, really for the rest of our life here, will continue to study and learn and rejoice in and gain insight in. This is not something, Father, that we can pass through on one time and have gotten it all. And God, we're grateful for that. We're grateful that you wrote your word so we can go back and read it again and double check it again and see it again and let it renew our mind again. And especially, Father, in this passage where you tell us that you reckon us to be dead in the sin and alive unto you, and therefore, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore we can serve you by faith here now for your glory and honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.